And that's a reasonable way to do it. Engineers always like to make these mathematical models up that they do everything, heat loss, heat gain, building load, equipment load, people load, and they say, this is the tonnage you need. It's never as good as walking in saying, is this room comfortable when it's full? Yeah, okay, fine. Let's see what we got up there. We'll put back up there what's there. That's generally how the HVAC companies do it. And that's really the right way to do it. They don't have the programs to take your building with a R rating, and that's what the resistance of the heat loss, heat gain is, and change it and determine what kind of tonnage you need. Those programs you get from a consulting engineer. The engineer, for example, that designed the CTC system over there, we don't do the application design. You have to have an independent consulting engineer who's independent of us do the application. And the reason is you have to have his errors and emissions insurance on top of our product liability insurance. And the state requires it too, a little thing like the state legislature. So he did that on that building. And then he designed, I want the temperature control system to work this way, and came up with what was called a performance set of specifications. Part of that included the equipment monitoring, because that's really where the energy saving is, keeping the equipment operating like it's supposed to. You have to have that guy come in here, determine what kind of tonnage you need where. Now, you can go ahead and install our system. Our system doesn't care what kind of tonnage you got, because we're going to put it in already to take care of any dew point issues that you have, because you've already got the existing air conditioning that you put in based on the old windows. So, did I make myself mud, clear as mud?
A lot of it I don't grasp. I'll have to.
A lot of what?
A lot of this, the units when they replaced, I don't know that they were, and these gentlemen may know a difference, I don't know that they were replaced at all, considering anything about our windows now, or I think they were just simply replaced for what they were. They replaced this product for the same size of what the hail damage was.
I'm confident that's what happened.
And there's been, I'm sure this building was built in 51, I believe. So if they were put in, and I don't know when they were put in to for the consideration to determine what size it was. I do know that we've had changes made to ductwork and stuff when different size of units here that have affected the heating of another office. We have put up doors that no longer, that you don't have heat in. I can use the auditor's office as an example, to where the thermostat and everything is in here and it's controlled in there. What I'm saying is there's been different changes, modification made to the building that has no judgment from what size unit was put in up here.
Well, that's called a distribution issue, and that the engineer has to look at that also. You know, look at your existing distribution system and determine how it needs to be for your use today. And typically what the heating and air people, the engineer, do, they'll make the main distribution duct out of regular metal, but the individual drops they'll make out of flexible, so if you do change the building, they can change the distribution system easier. Whereas years ago, that wasn't done that way. And the bottom line, what I'm saying is that I would not, heat's not a problem. You can always drop a humidifier in. But on the air conditioning, once you put a tonnage in, unless that tonnage is adjustable, which means it's got to be several stages, you can have a dew point problem if you replace the existing windows. Because what determines the amount of air conditioning you need is the number of people you have in the building, the equipment you have in the building, and you got to remember this building was built before you had computers. And then your air conditioning was probably changed. It probably had window units then. Then you came up with computers, and then you put rooftop units on. And back then, that computer she's sitting there working at was a 5 kW computer. Now it's about 0.5 kW. So your heat load's even changed in the building from when these original rooftop units were put in. So, and buildings, particularly county and city-owned buildings are owned for a long time. And they go through a life cycle change that affects heating and air conditioning, and that's the reason why a lot of areas are uncomfortable. And at the age of this building, I would really recommend that you have somebody to look at it. And if you're not going to make any changes to the building, you can put our system in. You can even gather data from that to help the engineer. Because the system doesn't care whether it's a 5-ton unit or a 10-ton unit. The only thing the system cares is whether or not the dew point's been reduced. So I guess what I'm telling you is that it's more than just putting our temperature control system in, particularly if you're going to do a window replacement. There's some other issues that you have to be aware of.
Like putting your system in, if you've got, you surprised me when you said that the window replacement was just 3-4%. I expected, because the windows on that side of the building, the air comes through. I mean, the wind blows through when the wind's blowing.
You're going to have some ventilation. You're going to need ventilation in this building, whether it comes through a leaky window or it comes through a rooftop unit economizer that opens up and brings outside air in. Right now, the majority of ventilation is coming from the window leaking. But as people are in buildings, two things happen. One thing is moisture builds up in the building, and the second thing is that carbon dioxide builds up. You've got to get rid of both those products. In a modern building, they have an outside air damper on the rooftop unit that gets rid of that and brings outside air in and flushes the inside air out. Your flush in this building are the windows. One side it comes in and the other side it goes out. As the wind goes across, blows across, the side the window's hitting is high pressure, the side on the other side is low pressure, and the air goes through the building. That's your economizer now. You don't have any control over it. It does affect your heating and air conditioning somewhat, but you're going to have some outside air in the building. Otherwise, the building gets really uncomfortable. And that's normally included when you do the retrofit on the heating and air. And the other thing you need, too, is that I'm an old-fashioned guy. I don't buy new cars. I've got a 1979 300 SD Mercedes. It's got 1,200,000 miles on it. Paid a lot of money for it when it was new, but I sure paid a lot less than if I'd been buying new cars along. So I don't like throwing the baby away with the bathwater. A lot of architects and engineers now prey on public entities because they can sell about anything when they do a retrofit of a building. There's one engineer, the engineer did that. I like him because he doesn't throw anything away. If it doesn't need to be replaced, he doesn't replace it. And I've just had a lot better luck with buildings that he's done the designs on than buildings other engineers done design. He's an old guy too. He's not as old as I am, but he's in his 60s. And so he's made a lot of mistakes. But
Ben, what you're saying, excuse me, this is Fred Malicote that did the engineering on the Justice Center. Yeah. He can write the specs for the EPM system. He can also write your specs for your windows and supervise a bit of both of those when you get to that position, if that's what you want to do. But that same Fred Malicote would do that also.
What he is, he can take you from where you're at now in the stages you want to go through to where you want to be when you're done, and do it in such a way it doesn't break the bank.
And that's who?
Fred Malicote. He's the one that was used over there. We recommended him there, and it's come out pretty good there.
Good name.
Sorry. Anyway, I'm glad for you to consider another one of our systems, because that's our great card for over there. If we hadn't done anything over there, you'd have probably shot us when we come in the building. So I appreciate the opportunity of coming here and talking with you. And if you have any questions, I bring my briefcase.
If they're still using electric space heaters over there, how effective does that work with your system?
Oh, the other thing, don't build another electric building.
The space heaters are not good. Sometimes they will confuse the system thermostat. Yeah, we got to have them in a few places. You got somebody that's in a place and they're in the doorway and it's drafty, you got to have it. They use a whole lot of energy. We don't have any control over those. And sometimes it'll confuse the system. So put us down for no on being in favor of the space heaters. I understand there's a need for them, but quick story. We had a bank in Wichita, and there's not very big, and this central office had one of the main thermostats in it, and it was always happy because there was a space heater in there too. All the lobby and the teller line was cold, and they just don't think about that. We'll find a coffee machine underneath the thermostat sometimes, some little weird stuff like that too, but had bad luck with those dudes. What are you looking for?
My business cards.
You gotta get some.
Mine's Ben Trout, same office phone number you've got up there. And you have to ask for old Ben Trout. There's young Ben Trout, too. He's only about 50, so.
You know, if that's the case on those thermostats, don't they make a, you can essentially hook a wire to it and run a thermostat and drop it, can you not? That way you don't have to move the thermostat?
Yeah.
Is it like a remote, or what is that called?
What we do is weighted average, where you would have two thermostats working together. You can give one of them more importance, or just move the thermostat. It's not that big. We do a lot of that weighted average, where there's one rooftop unit that's doing three areas or five, and there would be a representative sample from the thermostats in the zone. We give the occupants a range. Administration decides what that range is. Could it be 68 to 78, or could it be 69 to 70.
See, I was thinking it was like a 3-degree. I think over there is a 3-degree range or something.
Too. And it's adjustable by zone. So if you needed to change it, judge is wearing a big black robe and they're hot all the time, something would be that.
They tend to keep it colder to keep the stench down in the courtrooms.
I understand that. And that's airflow also. So it's because that building's tight. Like this one is not, but makes it soon be. So, yeah.
I just wear my coat when I go over there.
It's like the preacher, we do a lot of churches and the choir's all up there and they're hot all the time and the rest of us are freezing. Okay, fine. Thank you.
The other thing, too, is that you should try, and this sounds kind of like a, what do they call it, an oxymoron. You should try not to buy heating and air conditioning equipment that you can't get serviced locally. Particularly in a building like this, you don't need fancy variable air volume systems. You don't need fan terminal units. You just don't need them. You don't need a chiller. You don't need a boiler. You simply need a piece of heating and air conditioning equipment that can be installed by somebody that's from around here in the county and somebody that can service it. Because now with heating and air conditioning companies, if you have to have somebody service it, the clock starts when he's told, well, you need to go down to the Forsyth South County Courthouse. And the clock stops after he makes a repair, eats lunch, goes back. So you end up with about 4 to 5 times the labor cost that's necessary to do the repair. And if you buy the right kind of equipment, there's always somebody in the area that will know how to service that equipment. So I kind of preach that. Some people listen, some people don't, but I really think that's important. Now, you won't have a bunch of service calls on our stuff. If you do have a service call, when we arrive and start work, our clock starts. There's no travel fees, there's no mileage. When we stop work, the clock stops. Technicians, $125. Minimum's 1 hour. Typical repair takes average of about 35 minutes. Some are longer. But we get the 1 hour minimum is what we get. And it starts when you say, that's the unit, and it stops when you sign the repair order. We have a 24/7 engineer on duty. Your people will attest to that, that if you have a problem, you can get a hold of us on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. And there's no charge for that. We do that so that